This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The nation added more than a quarter of a million jobs in September, beating expectations. The White House says it shows the economy continues its steady climb out of the pandemic mess.
President Biden calls the September jobs report, quote, good news for American workers and families, and highlights that with this latest data, there have been 16 million jobs created during his administration. Still, the president says, quote, make no mistake, we have more to do to lower costs and expand opportunity. He calls on Congress to move forward on his plans for building millions of new homes, expanding prescription drug price caps, and more tax cuts. Lawmakers are on recess until after the election. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Search and rescue efforts continuing in the southeast a week after Hurricane Helene. At least 215 are dead across six states, and that death toll is rising. Former President Trump is in Georgia today for recovery efforts. And searing heat keeping its grip in the West with little relief until later this weekend. This is ABC.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A former guard at the Waupun State Prison is pleading no contest to reduce charges in the deaths of two inmates last winter. Sarah Ransbottom did not do cell checks in February like she was supposed to. Nine Waupun staffers, including the former warden, are charged. Ripon is the birthplace of the Republican Party. It's also where Democrat Kamala Harris accepted former GOP Congresswoman Liz Cheney's endorsement yesterday.
We may not see eye to eye on every issue, and we are going to get back to a healthy two-party system. I am sure of that.
Cheney explained why she's voting for a Democrat for the first time in her life.
Donald Trump is not fit to lead this good and great nation.
Trump campaigns in Juneau Sunday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Need to rent a car? When reaching out to rental car companies to book a rental, the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau warns to take extra steps to be sure you're talking with the right person. BBB Scam Tracker is receiving reports of con artists impersonating rental car company representatives. They claim to be able to get you a deal on your rental, but it's really a way to trick you into paying hundreds of dollars for a car that doesn't exist. To avoid a rental car con, never make payments with prepaid debit cards or gift cards. Use contact information listed directly on the business's website instead of relying on an internet search for customer support phone numbers. Beware of sponsored links. Fake websites sometimes pop up in your web browser's sponsored ads section and appear at the top of the search results. When in doubt, verify special deals directly with the company. For more information, contact the Wisconsin BBB at bbb.org/Wisconsin. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Heartbreak in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers went into the ninth inning with a lead yesterday, but a three-run home run by Pete Alonso ended Milwaukee's season. Manager Pat Murphy said he is disappointed for his players after a great season.
I love this team. You know, I love them. I'll never be able to duplicate 2024, and it didn't end the way we wanted to, and you know, tragically, actually, you know, it felt like it. It felt like a tragedy.
Meanwhile, the Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday after losing last week to the Minnesota Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said Jordan Love will be another week healthier this week after some struggles last week.
It's hard to go out there and when you just don't have a lot of practice where you have a lot of time off and expect to be at the top of your game.
Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
A ton of sunshine today and comfortable high temperatures as we reach 70 degrees. With feisty winds out of the south tomorrow, which shoves our highs to the low 80s. With chances of showers or a storm at night, after a cold front passes, it drags our highs on Sunday cooler to the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on Earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping? Your mind racing? So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the, not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Folks, you're just not going to want to miss this. I've got an incredibly special interview with Illinois Senator and Purple Heart Award recipient Tammy Duckworth.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Yeah, across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program on this TGIF Friday edition, October 4th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. A beautiful, beautiful fall day here over much of Wisconsin. And yes, I know, I've made a costume change. Our next guest compared me to Christina Aguilera. I only wish. I've changed into my Brewers jersey, folks, my Euchre jersey. There is no joy in Mudville or Milwaukee or in Los Angeles or anywhere else we have Brewer fans today, because this is how the game ended last night. Here is the wonderful, the great Bob Euchre wrapping up the game.
Well, New York down. They did it. And the crew will have it in here tonight.
Really a crushing end to what was a fabulous season for the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm telling you, that one had some sting on it.
The great Bob Euchre, along with Jeff Leffering last night on the Brewers Radio Network, has heard over many of our stations on the Civic Media Radio Network. Zommers, one season ends. But you know how we can get over that?
I think I have some idea.
How about a little Violent Femmes to lead us into our next interview here? This is what we need, Milwaukee! Across Wisconsin, we are bringing you Brewer Therapy. If you're a little bummed, we get it, but brighter days are ahead. It's not 2024, it's 1981. And here to explain what we mean by that, our next guest, the great director and co-producer of the great new film, The Film of the Fall, I'm calling it, Across Wisconsin and Northern Illinois, just a bit outside the store of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers World Series run, Sean Hanisch joins us from Los Angeles, California. Sean, great to see you again. Not necessarily under these circumstances, but you're going to help us out.
I'm only here to help, Todd. I mean, listen, I watched it with my son last night, and boy, as you said, that had a little sting on it. Yeah. It was not the way we all dreamed it up. You know, being a sports fan can be really challenging sometimes. Mm-hmm. Being a fan of number of teams, but I put the Brewers right there. I mean, we've fielded so many good teams over the years. This certainly was one of them. A really exciting team, a team filled with joy, and to have it end specifically the way that ended last night. I mean, you know, having been a fan, you know, I was born in 1968, so I've seen all the playoff games, you know, that was probably the most difficult loss. Well, certainly the most difficult loss since game seven of the National League Championship Series against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But that particular game felt like game seven of the World Series in 1982. It's tough.
And Brewer manager last night after the game, I thought Pat Murphy was incredibly gracious and said, look, we didn't lose this. Our guys didn't lose. The Mets won it. I mean, you know, it's just a myriad of things you don't expect to happen, and they won it. Your film, just a bit outside the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, it begins with a black screen with the words in white across it. A quote from the late Commissioner of Baseball, Bart Giamatti, says, quote, "It breaks your heart. It is designed to break your heart," unquote. Last night, broke her heart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, it is a machine for breaking hearts, baseball is. And I think we're all, you know, it's funny you mentioned the Pat Murphy thing. I thought about that too. And, you know, after I cried in my beer for a little bit last night, I did start to think about something that's different about this team than other losses that we've had is this is such a young team. We have such a core of great young players that, you know, what you also said is we'll see you in March at spring training in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about baseball. It goes through its seasons and, you know, well, we didn't get there this year. You know what was fascinating, Todd?
What?
I realized that last night, I heard somebody mention this. Every time the Brewers have been in the playoffs, the team that they have eventually lost to has either won or gotten into the World Series. That's remarkable. That means we're that close.
Right. Right. I mean, Mets fans, celebrate. You're going to the World Series, most likely.
I mean, we really are.
Just a bit outside.
Thank you, Sommers. Yes, nicely done. Nicely done. We were talking to Sean and your co-producer, Kelly Call, last night, setting up this interview. And again, thanks for doing this in a short time. But we made the point kind of in this chat, what you just said, there is hope. And talk about this film. I want to make sure we get in the new theaters and it's opening at this weekend. But talk about the similarities, perhaps, to this year ending the way we didn't necessarily want it, and the similarities in the film that's depicted to 1981 in prelude to that 82 season.
Well, it's true. You're right about that. I mean, we ended up in 1981, remember, it's the first time the Brewers ever made the playoffs. It was that crazy strike year. You know, it was two half seasons. Anyway, we're in the first ever divisional series, and we're up against the Yankees. We lose the first two. Then we go to Yankee Stadium for three, having to win all three. And we win games three and games four in Yankee Stadium and took it down to the last inning. And a fly ball that Don Money hit that was 2 feet short of the fence that would have really put us ahead and probably given us the win in that series. It feels a bit like that, you know, but boy, you know, just like 81 built to 82, I feel like 2024 is building to 2025 in a really positive way. I mean, the experience, these young players that we have, this amazing group of talent, you know, they can take this and they can, you know, that experience is going to pay off next year. And I mean, I'm heartbroken about last night, but I think we have more to be hopeful for and more to get excited about, more reasons to go to the ballpark next year, because this team's going to keep growing and growing. I mean, look, what Jackson Chourio did in game two was only done one other time, and that was by Babe Ruth.
Right.
So, hey, we got a lot to look forward to.
I mean, who knows? Time will tell whether he is the new quote-unquote kid, the new Robin Yount. I don't want to jinx him, but we'll see. But there's a lot of talent there. There's just a lot of talent there, and we'll see. Sean, again, this new film has been out. Talk about the success of Just a Bit Outside, the movie. It's still the highest-rated movie however you calculate it on percentage of screens. I'm just going to say it. It's the best talked about movie, highest rated on Rotten Tomatoes of any film in the country right now. It's taking Wisconsin and Northern Illinois by storm. And if you're bummed out, folks, about the game last night, go to Just a Bit Outside. I'm not just saying that. These are people that outside of sports that have nothing to do with this. They've told me this, have gone. They just feel better after this, Sean.
Well, I had a friend last night in Madison who, after the loss, he emailed me and said, I need to see the film. Hadn't seen it before, been too busy. Emailed me after the movie and said, that is exactly what I needed. Thank you so much for making this film. Because, you know, I think it reminds people that, you know what, we can actually hold two different ideas in our heads at the same time, that it was an amazing journey, an amazing season with awesome characters. And yet, yeah, we fell a little short, you know, which is very resonant, you know, this morning. But listen, the fans of Wisconsin, you know, I'd say even and Northern Illinois have been remarkable. I mean, this film lives and dies with the fans, the sports fans, the Brewers fans, all across the state. And we've been so fortunate. I mean, you know, Todd, I can't even believe I'm saying this. We started week one with 14 theaters, and I was like, this is remarkable. What an incredible footprint. We can get this film up to so many people. We're in week four, and we're in 20 theaters starting today.
Wow.
I mean,
congrats, man. I'm so happy for you guys.
Thanks, Todd. I mean, Kelly and I and Paul, we're pinching ourselves a little. We're like, we didn't expect to be in theaters for 4 weeks. We certainly didn't expect this to be our largest footprint to date. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool. What's happening is a lot of the theaters that are in smaller towns are picking up the film, and we're getting emails from them saying, "Hey, can we get Just a Bit Outside? You know, we're here in Portage. You know, we're here in Cedarburg. Mm-hmm. You know, can we get it? And we even had more yesterday for next week, for week five. Wow. So it's, you know, I'm so grateful to everybody that's gone and seen the film, everybody that has told their friends and family about it. In some cases, like Todd, like you, and like Aaron, you know, you took family and friends to go see the movie, and they thanked you afterwards.
They did.
We're thrilled. And yes, the Rotten Tomatoes now calls it their popcorn meter. Changed that term last week. I think they just changed the term. What?
Rotten Tomatoes are now not PC. What's that? I don't know. I didn't mean.
So, according to the popcorn meter, no, we're at 99%, which is the highest in the country for any film in theaters. So we're so grateful.
You've been in the film business a long time. Kelly, of course, spent a number of years at CBS. Have you ever seen this or at least this kind of organic growth of any project that you or Kelly have been involved with?
Certainly not that I've been involved in. Yeah. Perhaps Kelly has on some of his shows.
I'm Survivor. He talked about Survivor that last week. Yeah.
You know, and CSI and all that. So he's had more experience with this type of thing than I have. it reminds me of when films were released back in the 80s, where, you know, they would, you know, if they did well, sometimes, you know, word of mouth is the strongest advertising, but it's also, it takes people a little while to go see the movie, but then they like it and they tell other folks. So it feels a little old school, which is probably appropriate for a film that's about 1982.
Can you come back and spend five more minutes with us?
Love to.
All right. Pamela in Wisconsin Rapids said, hoping Just a Bit Outside comes to Wisconsin Rapids. Thank you. Back after this.
News from the Center, WRCE.
When Senator Tammy Baldwin first went to Washington, the big news story was Y2K. And we were partying like it was 1999. Baldwin has been in D.C. for more than 25 years. And after a quarter century, her values are a lot more Washington than Wisconsin. Baldwin supported providing puberty blockers and sex change surgeries to minor children in Wisconsin. And Baldwin supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters in Wisconsin to admit biological men who claim to identify as women. Even though domestic violence survivors say it would be traumatic to be forced to sleep in the same shelters as men. Tammy Baldwin, 25 years in Washington, has changed her. And now she's just too extreme for Wisconsin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes. This man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 1 o'clock. Coming up at the bottom of the hour or just after, keep on watching here. We have Ian O'Connor, Out of the Darkness. He is the author of that new book. Talk about films and books mixed up. The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. Ian O'Connor coming up at the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that, Sean. Should be fascinating. We'll see. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, I want to read that. That sounds, yeah. I would like that. If he's unlocked the mystery, then that would be interesting.
More importantly, with our current guest, Sean Hannish, he is director and co-producer of this. I'm calling it the film of the fall across Wisconsin and Illinois. It's called Just a Bit Outside, the story of the 1982 Milwaukee Brewers, who, of course, got in all the way to Game 7 of the World Series that year against the evil, dreadful Cardinals of St. Louis. No, I shouldn't be like that. But, you know, that's how I felt as a kid, Sean, when I lived through it. And that, my sister and brother-in-law and oldest niece went to this film in Eau Claire when it opened last week in Eau Claire. It's still there, I believe. And what they said is, my sister is the biggest sports fan in the family, but even my brother-in-law and my 17-year-old niece loved it. And they came out, and then my sister told them kind of the love story part, that, hey, this is a city who was going through a lot at that time and needed people and a team to believe in. And then when they came up a little short, the team needed a city to return that love, and the city was there for them. And they both got teary-eyed and said, no, we want to go back and see it again. And that's what this film does. It brings people together. It makes it, yes, you're going to have a couple of tears like we did last night, but I promise you, folks, go see this film with friends and family. You will feel uplifted when you leave.
Well, thanks, Todd. Yeah, the journey of making the film, then the journey of you know, watching it for the first time with an audience, and just, you know, hearing responses of people that have seen the film. I mean, it's been one of the best experiences, of my life, you know, creatively, certainly.
Yeah.
And it's the fact that people are telling you these stories, and Kelly and I hear these stories too. They're very personal. This is a very personal film to people, and they're loving the ride and the poignant ending and really the uplift, because at the end of the day, what sports is about is at its highest form is bringing us all together to cheer as one.
Speaking of your co-producer, he's texting us. He's traveling. I don't want to disclose where, but he's traveling, and he sent us a text. And now I feel like I know what former, I think maybe he's still there, Sean McManus, who covered CBS Sports for so long. I wonder if he got texts like this from Kelly, like when he was president of CBS. Wrap it up. Wrap it up. giving us notes. It's fantastic. Kelly, we got to make sure we mention where this all is, right? And the movie opened, opened exclusively in 14 Marcus Theaters. By the way, I was in Ripon yesterday. Do you know that Ripon was the home of Marcus Theaters? That was where the first one was?
I did not know that.
And it's still going.
Yeah, you can still go see movies there for $6.
Yes. I think this movie should be in the original Marcus Theater Ripon, but that's just me. Anyway, this film is expanding just a bit outside to 5 new theaters this weekend, starting today, as a matter of fact, to make a total of 19 theaters. It'll be opening in the Schubert's Hartford in Hartford, of course. Also opening in the theater in Prairie-du-Sac, the Millennium Cinema 6 in Platteville, my alma mater for college, and also in 16 Janesville Movie Theater in Janesville, and in Kelly's hometown, the Burlington Plaza in Burlington, Wisconsin. Troy Everson, my former classmate from Platteville, take all your friends in Burlington Area School District and go see this film.
I mean, it's Kelly's so excited that we're in Burlington.
Right?
I mean, I am too. And so are his parents, him being from there. Yeah. I mean, we're so excited about the new theaters. Hopefully people can get out and see them. It's great because we're starting to get to everybody's kind of neighborhood theater, which is, I mean, you couldn't ask for anything better. We're also being held over in a number of theaters. We have 11 Marcus theaters throughout the state that we're being held over in. We're also being held over at the Rivoli in Cedarburg, the Downtown Theater in Eau Claire, a theater in Rhinelander, and in Portage. So, you know, it's amazing. Those are all 1 week runs that extended to two because, you know, people are super excited about seeing the movie once, maybe twice.
Yeah.
And after last night, go
see it again. I'm going this weekend. I'll promise you that. I need some upliftingness, so I'll be seeing it. And again, go to justabitoutsidethemovie.com, justabitoutsidethemovie.com. You can also go to marcustheaters.com and find out all the places that this great new film will be showing this weekend. Anything else you can tell us yet, or not so much about any place else that might be expanding? Can you give us an inside track, Sean?
Okay, guys, here's how it works. Usually you find out on Mondays when theaters email you and say, hey, can we have the movie for the weekend? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, we're going to hold over these theaters. We've already had 6 theaters reach out this week to open the film on the 11th, so a week from today.
Yes.
And those are in some really fun locations, including, I don't know, are we in our third state? Are we in Upper Peninsula, Michigan? Yes.
The Youpers. Opening with you. I mean, that'd be fantastic, right? That's great. I mean, that just shows, again, you don't necessarily have to even be a Wisconsinite to love this film. I think it makes it better and more meaningful. But anybody, regardless of whether you're a sports fan, a Brewers fan, if you just love good storytelling, and I don't like to talk out of school too much. All I'm going to say is I had the honor of having dinner with Sean and Kelly last week. And when you sit there and talk to them, and more importantly, listen, you and Kelly, you care about this film so much. This is a love passion project. And that's, in my opinion, why this film is so good, because you deeply care about it and you put everything into it. And that comes across in the film. So thank you for what you guys have done.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Todd. Thank you so much for your support, for going out and seeing the film a third time this weekend.
Yeah.
But I really, really appreciate all these great discussions we've had on your show. It's, you know, I think you had the best quote about the film, in fact, so far. Whoa, that you didn't think you could. Yeah, you did. You said, I didn't think that I could, you know, have tears for the last 20 minutes of a movie and yet leave the theater feeling uplifted.
Yeah.
I think that captures exactly the feeling that you have after you've seen this film.
Go see it this weekend, folks. Justabitoutsidethemovie.com or marcustheaters.com. Just a bit outside the movie, the story of the 82 Brewers. Sean Hanisch, director, co-producer, along with Kelly Call. Really, really appreciate your time as always, Kelly. Thanks for Sean.
Okay.
I was looking at Kelly's name. Okay. Sorry. They are cousins, as it turns out. So. Thanks, Sean. God. Appreciate it. Safe travels, Kelly. You. And thank you, Sean. We'll talk to you guys soon. Just a bit outside the movie. Go see it. You'll feel better. There's always next year. Like Euchre said, we'll see you in Arizona in the spring. We'll see you on the other side with Ian O'Connor and Out of the Darkness on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's school superintendent wants more to be done about cybersecurity. Jill Underley led a roundtable discussion on the topic yesterday. Cyber criminals are targeting school districts in Wisconsin and around the country. The White House says the federal government needs to be part of the solution. Outbreaks of food poisoning can be scary, but there are steps you can take. Jovana Kovacevic is an expert on listeria. She says people should store meat at the right temperature and cook it thoroughly.
Certain foods are higher risk foods, and if you're in that vulnerable group, you want to avoid those foods. We really need to do better to engage consumers.
A recent listeria outbreak linked to deli meat killed 10 people and made 59 other people sick across the country. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRCE, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Navigating reproductive and abortion care in Wisconsin since the 2022 Dobbs decision has hinged around an 1849 law, full abortion prohibition in court rulings. The League of Women Voters of Appleton Fox Cities will host a panel presentation webinar on Monday to assess the current status of the issue. The virtual webinar, Reproductive Health Care in Wisconsin, will take place from 6:30 to 8 on Zoom. Moderating the discussion will be LWV of Wisconsin President Dorothy Skye, a retired OBGYN physician. The panelists will participate in an informed, unscripted discussion of the issue. Time will be allowed at the end for audience questions. The program is open to the public at no charge. Registration on the League's website, lwvappletonfoxcities.org, is required to receive the Zoom link. The League of Women Voters of Appleton Fox Cities is nonpartisan and does not support or oppose any political party or candidate. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Kevin Smith fans have been wondering if there will be a Mallrats sequel for Going on 30 Years. Well, wonder no more. While discussing his new film, The 4:30 Movie, Smith told the New York Post there will definitely be a Mallrats sequel. The director says he spoke about the sequel with Shannon Doherty before she passed away from cancer. He says Doherty was all on board with the project, and she even told him she would go to the studio with Smith and play the cancer card to get it made if she had to. If you watch any TV at all, you've seen one of Ryan Murphy's shows. His latest is Monsters, about the Menendez brothers on Netflix. His new legal drama is All's Fair. The project took a hit when Halle Berry left, but there is no shortage of actors who want to work. Variety reports that Ed O'Neill will join the cast of the show that follows a divorce attorney at an all-female law firm. The show also stars Naomi Watts, Glenn Close, and Kim Kardashian. O'Neill is best known for his work on Married with Children and Modern Family. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A ton of sunshine today and comfortable high temperatures as we reach 70 degrees. With feisty winds out of the south tomorrow, it shoves our highs to the low 80s. With chances of showers or a storm at night, after a cold front passes, it drags our highs on Sunday cooler to the upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... Not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. With fuzzy cheese, it's very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, National Security Leaders for America member Randy Manner joins us at 10:33 to talk about Project 2025. Pam Yonke in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock. It is Friday, October 4th, 2024. The Pack heads out to L.A. take on the Rams this weekend. We will see what happens. Joining me right now via StreamYard, I am so excited for this interview. It's fantastic. A guy who knows a lot about one of the Packer icons, legends, Aaron Rodgers, spent a lot of time researching and talking to him, Ian O'Connor, who is now a five-time New York Times bestselling author. His previous works have included books and on people like Bill Belichick, Coach K, of course, Derek Jeter, Arnold Palmer, and Jack Nicklaus. Ian O'Connor, thanks for being here. The new book is called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. How are you?
Good. Great to see you, Todd. It's my pleasure.
Well, and right off the top, I have to thank our mutual friend here. One of the great joys of working for Civic Media the last couple of years is getting to know a guy that you've known longer than I have, and that's Mike Clemens, our sports reporter here at Civic Media, who made this connection. He goes, hey, I got a guy that you might want to interview if you have interest. And I'm like, yeah, sure, who? And he told me, I'm like, yes, please. So big thanks to Mike for hooking us up and making this interview happen, and thanks for your graciousness of your time.
Yeah, well, actually, Mike, I haven't known that long, and
oh,
I
really
introduced him. Yeah, Bill Michaels had said, hey, you need to talk to Mike. And his institutional knowledge was very valuable to me. And he was just kind enough to take a couple hours on the phone, longer mm-hmm. than that, really, just to share those insights and his knowledge. And luck is the residue of design. That's the old saying from Branch Rickey, right?
Right.
So you get, as an author, you have to get lucky in this business, in the process of writing a book and meet people who can really help you out. And Mike Clemens was certainly one of those people.
So if people haven't read your books before, well, why not, folks? Why haven't you? But no, if people that haven't read you before aren't familiar, tell folks a little bit about your background, how you got into writing, and what you like covering.
Right. Yeah, I really I was a columnist at ESPN.com, mm-hmm. the New York Post, New York Daily News, USA Today. So I've been a columnist at a lot of places. And really for the last 20 plus years, I've focused a lot of my time and efforts on being an author. And so Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers is my sixth book. And yet lucky enough to get on the New York Times bestseller list with it recently. So that's my fifth. And so I've focused obviously on iconic sports figures, coaches with Coach K and Belichick, athletes with Jeter and now Aaron Rodgers. And so he got traded into my backyard. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to do a book on a Green Bay Packer because Vince Lombardi coached at my high school and lived eight houses away from the house I grew up in Englewood, New Jersey. So when I played football at St. Cecilia High School in Englewood, New Jersey, that, believe it or not, although it was many decades ago when he led St. Cecilia to the number one ranking in the country, that legacy, we felt that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the school is closed now. But because of Lombardi, the mystique of the Packers, and obviously I followed the Packers from a distance in large part because of the Lombardi connection, I always felt like I had a Packers book inside of me. When I arrived at Lambeau Field for the first time, years ago, I just remember it felt like Lombardi was going to come out of the tunnel. It really did. Yeah, it's the kind of place it is. I'm sure you're well aware of the effect that building has on people who are visiting for the first time. So I'm glad that Aaron Rodgers sort of ended up in New York at the end of his career and put himself in front of me. And I was about to start a book on LeBron James, and I switched over to Rodgers, and I was glad I did.
I found that fascinating when I read that introduction. I'm like, holy cow. I mean, LeBron James is a pretty big subject there. And to put that on the kind of the side burner for a second to focus on Aaron Rodgers, did you just think it was because the timeliness that in your experience of being a columnist, a journalist, watching these things, did something just click and say, look, this doesn't happen too often. This is where I want to go. How did you make that decision?
Well, there's a couple of things, Todd. One, there've been a few books on LeBron, and one came out fairly recently by Jeff Benedict. And there really, I didn't feel had been, at least in recent years, any defining biography of Rodgers, who's a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the great quarterbacks of all time, without question.
Sure.
And here he is. I thought it was a fascinating, the second part of that is a fascinating partnership between a first ballot Hall of Famer at the end of his career, looking for that second championship ring and partnering with a Loserville franchise in the biggest market in the league. He's going from the smallest market to the biggest market. And yet the Jets have been a Charlie Brown franchise. And I think he realized a great opportunity existed with the Jets. And that opportunity was, if I win a ring with this franchise, it will feel like two or three or four rings. It really will, because the Jets haven't been to the Super Bowl, haven't even been to a Super Bowl, never mind won one, since January of 1969. So imagining Aaron Rodgers holding the Vince Lombardi trophy above his head with confetti raining down for the New York Jets is very hard to picture, particularly now at 2-2, but just for that franchise. But I've been covering sports in the New York area for almost 40 years. That would be the biggest New York sports story of my lifetime. So I thought this is the right time to, I can always do LeBron later on if I want to, but Aaron right now, right here in New York, I just thought was a great opportunity. So that's why I took the project on.
I always like to be honest with my audience. When I have authors on, I like to try to get through the book as much as I can. But this happened a little quickly. I'm about halfway through or so. I've got it dog-eared and marked up a little bit. Boy, if you want a book that really entices you, if you would allow me, here's a couple of lines from this great new book called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers by Ian O'Connor. Quote, we discussed Mike McCarthy's coaching and Matt LaFleur's too. We discussed the one mistake Roger admitted making about his COVID-19 vaccination status and the one regret Rogers had about the way he handled rumors surrounding his sexuality. We talked about his family and agreed that no credible Aaron Rodgers bio could be written without covering his estrangement from his parents, his two brothers, and other relatives. He had virtually no communication with them for close to a decade, virtually, before arriving at his first Jets training camp. Rodgers made his annual trip to Lake Tahoe to compete in the celebrity tournament. And then moving down, people who were close to Rodgers, who had been close to Rodgers, all noticed the same thing about him throughout that summer of 2023. He seemed happier, lighter, and more approachable. He looked downright unburdened. Quote, like the old Aaron Rodgers, unquote, said one family member. Boy. If that's not a hook, I don't know what is, Ian.
Yeah, I hope so. And it was nice to be at his house in Malibu, and it was an adventure getting there. I handed in the book in late January. So Aaron had not agreed to an interview. He had not responded to my messages and requests through the Jets, through his agent. I went directly to Aaron. I sent him my books on Bill Belichick and Coach K. I got no response whatsoever. I interviewed 250 people, none of them named Aaron Rodgers. But you can write a very good biography unauthorized without any cooperation from the subject. I think I did that with Belichick. I guess the reader would be the judge of that. But so but 2 weeks after I handed the book in, I get a call from the Jets that said, Aaron's now willing to see you. So I flew from New Jersey out to Los Angeles. On the way there, there was a bomb scare on my plane. We got diverted to Chicago for 7-8 hours. The plane was cleared and I went on my way and arrived in Malibu the following day at his house, and we sat in the backyard. It's the nicest backyard setting I've ever had for an interview. His backyard is the Pacific Ocean. We were on a bluff right above the ocean. It was beautiful. Wow. The sun was out. It was, it was a great scene. And I had no idea how much time he was giving me. And the Jets did not give me any time element to it. And I felt like if he didn't like the line of questioning or the way it was going after a half hour, he might just kick me out of there. So as it turned out, it wasn't certainly full cooperation, which for a biography would require 15 to 20 hours at least with the subject. It was a 2-hour fact-checking session. He basically allowed me to fact-check 250 interviews with him. And he made it a much better book, even though it wasn't nearly as much time as I would have liked, just by being candid on his COVID-19 controversy, his family estrangement, and other sensitive issues. And so since it was unauthorized, he didn't owe me anything. So I very much appreciate the fact that he did give me that one audience. I did get to talk to his parents. They hadn't commented really ever on the record about the estrangement. I drove them to the game last September when he was injured, 4 snaps into the Jets season, that disastrous 9-11 game against Buffalo. And then after the book came out this September, his home opener, I again drove them to the game, different circumstances. This time the book was out At that Lake Tahoe celebrity golf tournament you referenced, Todd, he hugged his father there and they said, "I love you" to each other. And it's the first time they had seen each other or said any words to each other in 9 years. So that scene has been brought up a lot by people who got a chance to read the book, wondering, will that lead to reconciliation? Aaron says in the book, he wants to reconcile with his father. That was his hero, the man he wanted to be when he was younger. So I think if that happens, my hope as a human being, particularly as a father, more so than as a journalist, is that he reconciles with his dad and then the rest of the family kind of falls into place.
We're talking with Ian O'Connor, the author of this great new book called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. I don't want to give anything away, and you take this wherever you want to, because I want people to read the book. I want to have them have the same experience that I have had thus far. I mean, it is one of those page turners. You're like, I want to get to the next. But from what I've seen or what I've read so far, is there's this, to me, I don't want to judge, but a strange vagueness, I'll call it, where so far Rodgers never really seems to open up and say, this is exactly why I'm estranged from my family. And the family and this drive that you're talking about, these drives, they allude to, well, it's complicated. Well, we hope it happens. No one ever seems to nail it. You don't have to tell us what it is, but do the readers eventually find out that mystery? Or are we kind of still left with, we don't know?
Yeah, it's interesting because I entered the project thinking that there was one defined reason or event or development that was the ultimate reason for the estrangement. And that doesn't exist. So a lot of people asked about that. And there are like 15 different reasons. And I have a feeling that is similar to a lot of family fractures and divisions. Religion was a part of it early on. But Aaron said now it's not. He's not religious at all. He's spiritual. That's how he defines himself. But his parents, his mother in particular, is devoutly religious. And that's how he was raised, where his mom, Darla, told me everything we did as a family was a prayer project. And Aaron did rebel against that. And I do think that planted the seed for other rebellions. But his parents blame Olivia Munn, the actress he was dating at the time of the estrangement in 2014. Aaron says Olivia really had nothing to do with it. She confirmed feelings I already had. And some of those feelings were that he felt his family did not fully appreciate his generosity. He thought his family revolved too much, even depended too much on his fame, fortune, and success. They disagree with that. It's like Aaron's viewpoint on it is driving the estrangement, but they don't agree with the way he defines it. Mm-hmm. And so he was upset with his brother, Jordan, who went on The Bachelorette and talked about the estrangement.
Right.
And there was a scene filmed in The Bachelorette where they're at the Rodgers home and the parents' home in Chico, and there are two empty chairs at the dinner table signifying the absence of Aaron and Olivia Munn, his girlfriend at the time. And Aaron said, I wasn't even invited to that scene or that filming. So if you're going to do that and basically embarrass me, at least invite me to attend. So there just seem to be a lot of issues like that are fairly minor, at least my viewpoint on it, and tells me this estrangement should have died many years ago. I think what's happened here is Aaron doesn't know how to confront it and kill it off and end it. So it's been easier for him to let it linger and fester. And that's why it's 10 years. And so hopefully now that he has said in my book, I do want a relationship with my father, despite distance between us, that will lead to the end of something that should have ended probably 5, 6, or 7 years ago.
About a minute left here before the first break. Can you come back and join us for another 6 minutes on the other side, Ian?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, fantastic. Yeah. On the way out here, give us the quick take, the knee-jerk take. What's your takeaway? Is he as big of, I got to clean it up for broadcast radio, jerk, as some people like to say, just this arrogant prick? Or is it just more nuanced, more complicated? That you got to, one of those people you got to get to know.
Well, yeah, I think so. And he's acted that way. He's hurt himself a lot in the last 3 years, particularly with the COVID stance. What he said in August of 21 at that Green Bay press conference, yeah, I've been immunized. Those four words changed his life. Mm. And obviously came out 3 months later, he was not vaccinated. And that misleading statement really hurt him in a big way in the arena of public relations. Certainly his image has never recovered from that. And so he did concede to me he shouldn't have done that. But I do think he was praised before that by the same media members who ripped him later. I do think that good guy is still there, and I tried to bring him out in this book.
Ian O'Connor, the book is Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. We'll continue our conversation on the other side. It's the Todd O'Ball Show for a Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour, CBS Radio News or ABC Radio News, depending upon which station you were listening to across the state of Wisconsin on Civic Media. Then you know, a little weather and sports. Then we have our friend Maggie Dawn for the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon, 2 until 4, followed by Dom Selvia. And then Nightlight with our friend Pete Schwabba up in, ironically, Green Bay, Wisconsin. We are talking right now with the author of this fantastic new book, Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers. He is Ian O'Connor, joining us live on StreamYard right now. Again, Ian, thank you for the generosity of your time and being with us. Again, I love the title because there's no definitive word here so far. I'm about 3/4 through. And is that intentional? You kind of want the reader to find out for themselves, what is this guy like? What's the perception? Is he the good guy that's generous or riding around Green Bay in the back of a pickup truck giving big tips? Or is he this kind of narcissistic, ayahuasca, lock myself in a dark room, weird guy?
Yeah, all of the above. That's the beauty of it, I think.
Right?
And so, as I mentioned to you earlier, my goal is not for the reader to find who the subject is. I want to paint the full portrait of the athlete, coach, and human being, and then let the reader decide for herself, for himself. And that's what I think I did here. And it's not just black and white. There's a lot of gray area, of course, in between. And Aaron Rodgers was considered one of the good guys in the NFL and in American sports up until 3 years ago. Praise for his Colin Kaepernick support, praise for supporting athletes who were protesting inequities in American society, particularly on racial and social lines. And the same media members who were praising him for that then ended up ripping him for the COVID thing, and rightfully so. That was a self-inflicted wound, and he admitted to me he made a mistake. Aaron does not, as you know, admit mistakes very often. He never says, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." There's usually deflection of blame. But I could say that about most great athletes and coaches I've covered. So I do think he's a contrarian. He's a chameleon. He's a conspiracy theorist. He's a lot of things. But I do want the reader to decide. I do think in this book, I bring out some of the stories from his friends and associates about his acts of kindness and generosity that are not publicized to counter some of the negativity of the last 3 years. His marketing agent, Ed Berry at CAA, told me he's a frustrating client to have because I want to get publicity for some of the good deeds and he doesn't want any part of it. So it's frustrating because I want to counter it and he doesn't take the time and has no interest in doing it.
Whether it's in the book or not, what was the thing you personally came away with that was unexpected after this project?
I guess I was expecting more negative anecdote stories and reaction from former teammates. I have to say that even going back to high school, junior college, and then his great career with the Packers, now with the Jets, just looking at the way the Jets looked at him, particularly last year, they revered him. And Hard Knocks, the show on HBO, did tremendous service for Aaron because it showed him interacting with teammates, acting as a good leader. And a lot of Jets fans were surprised by that because of the negative coverage of him in recent years. But I ran into an NFL official, a longtime official, who told me that he actually couldn't stand Aaron Rodgers personally and hated his stances, particularly on the vaccine. But he said, I have to admit, I've never met an NFL player who doesn't like him. And I do think that should count for something because he spends the most amount of time with his teammates. And a couple, obviously, Greg Jennings and Jermichael Finley said some negative things about him over the years. But they also said a lot of positive things about him as well. So I think that was the one thing that surprised me was just how much players, teammates stood up for him, even off the record. And so I would say that was something I didn't expect.
We started this by talking about Aaron Rodgers' play. Let's end it there. Looking at Aaron Rodgers, the Jets, as you said, are 2-2. They have a big game across the pond against, yes, they're 4-0, the evil and dreaded Minnesota Vikings. They beat us last week. What do you make? I mean, could it happen? I mean, you kind of say in the book, I mean, wouldn't that be cool? But I mean, can this happen for Aaron Rodgers?
Well, it sounds like Devontae Adams will be joining him in the next two
right?
or 3 weeks.
How about that? Vegas messes that up. And I mean, you know that's going to happen, right?
It's got to happen at this point, right? And so, listen, 2-2 in a 17-game season, you're okay. They should be 3-1. They lost a game to Denver. They never should have lost at home. But Aaron's actually looks pretty good most of the time. And against the Patriots in the home opener, he looked like he was 29 years old. He was moving around great. Now, the first 2 weeks, he looked like a statue. He looked 40 years old in terms of mobility and athleticism. But all of a sudden, week three, that changed. And then week four, his offensive line nearly got him killed. So there's been a mixed bag of performance with Aaron, but overall his arm looks really good. And when he has time, he still can sling it. And so I do think they're a playoff team. If you look at the roster, I don't believe in the head coach. That's a problem. Mm. Aaron has to outperform the head coach. And at times he had to do that in Green Bay too. But Robert Saleh might be the worst head coach he's had in his career. And Saleh hasn't proven it. And Aaron, though he personally likes him, I'm sure at this point he's looking at him from a coaching perspective sideways. And so Saleh has to pick up his game or you're going to see a problem. Aaron said today in London, he has a great relationship with Robert Saleh, but publicly, I do think he personally likes him. I do believe him when he says that. But my understanding is as a head coach, the jury is still definitely out on Saleh as far as Aaron Rodgers is concerned.
About a minute left, Ian O'Connor. What do you want your reader to take away most of all out of this great book called Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers?
Just that he's been a villain in the NFL for 3 years running, and it's just more complicated than that. That good guy that did those things and earned that praise for his social stances with Kaepernick and other issues is still there. And so in talking to his friends who rarely talk about him publicly and associates, I think I bring that full person to life and bring him back in this book. And I think that's my ultimate takeaway from it.
The book is Out of the Darkness, The Mystery of Aaron Rodgers by Ian O'Connor. And get it wherever you get your books. I did it the old-fashioned way. I went to Barnes & Noble. It's a great read. Thank you, Ian, very much for spending time with us. And congratulations on another great bestseller.
Oh, thanks so much, Todd. It was my pleasure.
Pleasure is ours. To all of our great guests today, Brady and Brandon Ewing, Trigby Olson, also Sean Hannish, have a great thank you and have a great weekend. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum. See you Monday.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Old World Wisconsin's Maria Comiskey for some Freaky Friday talk. And it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr joins us with excellent tunes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin early next month down in Baraboo. Charo, what is the secret? Is it the music? Is it the dancing? Are your shows what keep you young?
Yes, I will never get old while music is alive.
Yeah.
You got to move it, move it. I have ants in my pants. I had to move.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.